Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. Call us today and mention the Kim Pagano Show and get 10% off your order. 805-604-1568. That's 805-604-1568. Or visit us online at surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA. We'll help you make your dream home a reality. Have you ever thought about long-term care? MKN Financial Group provides long-term care planning and insurance that can be custom designed to cover expenses as you grow older. Long-term care can take place in the comfort of your own home, in adult daycare centers, and at assisted living or skilled facilities. With so many options to choose, Marcy Nunn can help you design a plan that is tailored for you. Call her today at 805-644-3535. That's 805-644-3535.
Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And you know how I am so passionate about cooking and just, you know, things that really taste good and make our life so much better. And today joining us is Sarah Lee Chase, and she's going to be talking about her new book, New England Open House Cookbook. And we're going to find out hopefully some tricks and trades to the secret of cooking and some of her passions. And I'm really interested to learn a little bit more about Sarah. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are and how you got started.
Well, I am a food writer, but I set out to be a food writer when I graduated from college. I had a notion that I wanted to open a prepared takeout food shop on Nantucket Island, where I had been going since I've been 13 years old. And I named the shop K-Sara Sarah, since my name is Sarah.
I love that, K-Sara. Oh, very cute.
Yeah, I didn't want to be bound by what I had to cook on a, you know, on a daily basis, so I figured it could translate as, you know, whatever would be my whim to cook that day, and also that the name would be versatile enough if the food industry didn't work out, but I could use it for something else. Well,
you were thinking ahead, lady. All right, I like that.
Well, lo and behold, the shop was a success, and I got into cookbook writing through meeting the women, Sheila Lukens and Julie Rasta, who were running the very popular Silver Palette business in New York City in the early 1980s. And I ended up working on their second cookbook with them, the Silver Palette Good Times cookbook. And that cookbook came out in 1985 and immediately went on the New York Times bestseller list. So it was a, you know, pretty heady, fun moment to be a cookbook author and to be a co-author on that book. So that gave me the idea, gee, writing cookbooks can be a great way to kind of round out your culinary personality. I like combining the writing with the cooking, because the cooking, you know, the chopping and dicing and cleaning up gets boring after a while, and the writing gives it, you know, some intellectual weight. And so after that, I started writing my own cookbooks. I wrote a cookbook called Nantucket Open House, which had many of the recipes I featured in my shop, and that was very, very successful. And
Sarah, do you sell those in your? Do you still have your restaurant?
I don't. I stopped doing it at the end of 1989 and then went on to write cookbooks and teach cooking classes and work as a consultant. However, the recipes for my shop do live on in the Nantucket Open House cookbook, and that was partially the inspiration for this new cookbook, the New England Open House, because people, you know, I haven't written a cookbook in 20 years. People would always say, what happened to Sarah Chase of the Nantucket Open House cookbook? And so I was just associated with that open house name, so it seemed natural for the new cookbook to call it New England Open House.
Ah, I like that. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. We're talking with Sarah Lee Chase, and we're talking about a New England Open House cookbook. Why so long of a time in between? What were you doing?
Well, I wasn't consciously thinking, I'm taking a break from cookbook writing. I mean, so much has changed since I last wrote a cookbook. This is actually the first cookbook I have ever written on a computer. All my others were done on a typewriter. So that
really?
Shows how much the world changed. There was no television Food Network when I used to, you know, write cookbooks. But anyway, I got married in 1995. I became a mother to a family child, Oliver.
Congratulations.
1997. And then I had, you know, lived on Nantucket ever since I graduated from college, and we moved off of the island of Nantucket to the mainland at the end of 1999. And I say those collective three M's, marriage, motherhood, and moving, really, you know, changed my life, and I found that, you know, I no longer had, I couldn't, you know,
any devote
to planning, planning a dinner party or whatever, couldn't write a cookbook in 2 years, so, you know, it's just the time flies, as I say, when you're not writing cookbooks.
Right.
I figured it was time to get back into it, and this particular New England Open House cookbook has taken me, you know, 5 years of physical labor, but in truth, it's really a lifetime of recipes from my living in New England that have gone in to make up the 300 recipes in the book.
Wow. Now, is it hard to make, I mean, this is a big, for my listeners out there, oh my God, 300 recipes, but it's not like this little thin book. It's this huge, nice notebook, you know, I mean, it's got some texture to it. Is this hard to do?
Yes. I mean, it doesn't write itself, and for better or worse, I'm of the belief that in order to make a recipe sing, you just don't want it there on the page. You want a story that goes with it. You need to know something about it. So there are pretty extensive stories that go with each recipe as part of the, you know, seduction into why you should make this recipe. So that adds to the heft of the book, but it also means if you're not a cook, but a foodie, it's just an enjoyable read. If you are a cook, you know, so much the better. You have a story to go with all the recipes.
So, okay, looking in your book, and I love steamed clams. What's your story behind the steamed clams?
Well, basically, steamed clams is less is more. You know, they talk about wine all the time, you know, having a terroir, you know, tasting of the land in which the grapes were grown. Well, seafood has what they come to known as a miroir, taking the French word for sea, mir, and that it should taste of the sea, and rather than, you know, wine or beer or anything, if you just steam clams in their own juices, to me, that's, the clam should taste like a clam, and that's when they taste best. And this was brought, you know, home to me one day when I was traveling out to a Little League game on Martha's Vineyard, and sat down before my son's Little League game at a little local seafood shack and just had a bowl of simply steamed clams. And I said, hey, that's the way a New England clam should taste.
Wow. You know, I'm looking through your book here, and, oh, my God, it's when you say, now that you've kind of mentioned less is more, that's really kind of your style, isn't it?
Well, you know, yes, although, you know, I wouldn't say that I am a low-cal cook. I get that comment, well, you know, all the time. These are not, you know, diet recipes. Less is more, but I'm not afraid to gild the lily when the lily is worth gilding.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you a question. Was there a mentor in your life, like somebody that you really looked up to that really taught you how to cook and how to, you know, prepare?
I can't say there was one specific person. I am an avid cookbook reader. I review cookbooks on a weekly basis for a column I write for the Nantucket newspaper. I've learned just by keeping my eyes, ears, and mouth open wherever I go. It's the whole collective group of people. I still really, you know, like the first wave of people in the 60s and 70s that put food on the map, Julia Child, Jacques Pepin. Certainly, you know, they, you know, formed a core basis of, you know, my cookbook collection, Marcella Hazan, the people that were just writing cookbooks before writing cookbooks, you know, had to do with being a celebrity chef, people that just, you know, basically made their living in cooking, and it wasn't a whole, you know, TV enterprise and all of that on top of it.
Right, right. Now, your husband works with you, right? Now you guys are the owners of Coastal Goods, is that correct?
Yeah, Coastal Goods, that is his seasoning company. He does all the blending for his spices. We have a line of sea salts called Sarah Sea Salts, and then we have a line of one-shot seasonings and a whole bunch of other things. It's all on the Coastal Goods website. I call myself the Coastal Culinarian because when it comes to creating recipes with the seasonings he makes, I step in there.
So did he already do that before you guys met, or is this something that he acquired after?
He started doing it shortly after we met. He started a company called Nantucket Offshore Seasonings, which was grilling rubs, and it was, before rubs became such a big thing, he was one of the first people to do it, to go beyond, you know, you always had rubs down in the south of barbecue, but people didn't think of seasoning rubs for, you know, other foods, you know,
right.
Now they're all over the place, but he started that concept, that business was sold, and partially because of me and all the recipes I write, you know, I say that, you know, every savory recipe calls for salt and pepper, and they are, you know, basic ingredients in the kitchen, and you can't go wrong selling, you know, salt and pepper, but they might as well be the best salt and pepper you can get your hands on, since they're basics to every single recipe. So
right, and as we're speaking about that, you know, there's so many different grades of sea salt. I mean, you know, and I know obviously, you know, this, and I don't know if you talk about that in your book, but what would be your recommendation? Is there a kind of salt that you actually always use?
Yes, well, you know, being, you know, in the business, I use a lot of fleur de sel. We were some of the first people to import it from France. Ours comes from the south of France, from the Camargue, and it just has a wonderful, you know, crunch to it. It's a little bit on the expensive side, so you want to use it as a finishing salt. But for, you know, day-to-day cooking, I just use an everyday sea salt. A lot of people prefer kosher salt, you know, just personally, I use sea salt, and throughout my recipes, I always say salt and pepper to taste, because it's a very personal thing, and salts vary in their saltiness, and I think a lot of people don't realize that sea salt is saltier than kosher salt, so you use less sea salt than you would kosher salt.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. So I know we're almost at the end, and what are some of your favorite recipes that you could share with our listeners? And I do want to remind everybody that we are talking with Sarah, and we're talking about her book, Sarah Lee Chase, New England Open House. I would love to get your other books and have you back on.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I think nothing epitomizes New England more than lobster. And if you don't want to go through the mess of, you know, cracking open a lobster and extracting the meat, and go for a lobster roll. And I say I've tasted lobster rolls all over the country, and I swear still the best lobster roll in the world is the one you're going to make in your own kitchen with the very fresh lobster meat, maybe a homemade mayonnaise. Although, you know, that's not essential. You know, good commercial mayonnaise like Hellman's can do the trick, but the the idea is to keep the lobster plentiful, not mask it with too much mayonnaise. And then this is critical, to have a toasted hot dog bun. We call them New England buns. They're split on the top rather than the side. So you're able to butter the outer edges of the roll and get a toasty golden brown.
Mouth is watering right now.
Yeah, part of this. So the great pleasure of a good lobster roll is that contrast between the just toasted, warm, soft hot dog roll and then the fresh, briny, cold creaminess of the lobster salad. It's those two things in conjunction, and, you know, it's just, it's more than the ingredients. There's a temperature and a textural thing that goes on as well.
You know, I just want to recognize one thing. On the back of your book, you have a couple different pictures of things, and I love that you put the page that, you know what I mean? So you go right to that page of trying to find what you're, you know, oh, this is inspiring. Okay, I go right to that page. So I love how you've done your book.
I will tell the publishers
okay, so they do it all for you.
Right, I have to approve
okay,
it. When you think that the 300 recipes, they did a great job of putting all my ideas into something that could be, one could comprehend.
Yeah, so, okay, and leave us with one tip that our listeners can really just get that, you know, amazing taste from their food when they're cooking.
Well, there's a saying up in Maine, the less you do something, the better it is. The less you do to something, the better it tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not just with New England food, but there's, you know, an explosion in this country with celebrating that which is local. And if it comes, you know, from your area, you should, you know, cherish it for what it brings of, you know, the taste of the sea or the taste of the land in your particular area. And you don't get that special taste if you mask it with tons of other ingredients. You know, celebrate your perfectly, you know, your tomato that's perfectly blind ripened, or your ear of corn, or your just caught, you know, fillet of fish.
It. What a great, that's a really something great to remember. Where do we find your book?
Well, if you're out in California, I'm not sure it will be stocked in local bookstores, but hopefully it will. But you can go to our Postal Goods website, and we have links to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, more about the book and information and buying it on the
website. I would love you to send me your other books, because I love what you're doing, and I'd love to have you back.
Okay, well, thank you. I'd love to be back.
You got it. You have a really great day, and thank you so much for being a part of the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, we will take a quick break. We'll be back.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping here alone.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
DeVall Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Waking up to your aliveness is what Sherry Gaba teaches her clients in person, by phone, or through Skype. Sherry teaches you how to live a life filled with harmony, peace, joy, and purpose, with real tools to change anything in your life, whether it's a relationship, career, financial abundance, anxiety, depression, or any addiction, whether it's alcohol, food, even obsessive love, or the internet. Sherry is a licensed psychotherapist and a certified transformation and recovery coach. Call Sherry at 818-756-3338. Email her at sherry@sgabatherapy.com and check out her website at www.sherrygaba.com.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life, where we talk about anything that can add value to our life. And I'm really excited today. We're going to be talking with country music star. He makes a comeback after cancer, and we're going to hear his inspiring story. Obviously, you know what, we're so passionate about when somebody really tells their journey about how they can help us on our journey. And let's welcome Wade Hayes. Wade, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Kim. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for, coming on our show and talking about your inspiring show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey.
Okay. In 2011, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and that is typically a 12% survival rate, 5-year survival rate with that. So, you know, typically not good odds there. And I had been through cancer twice now.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, I am very fortunate to be here and very thankful. But on my last bout with it, when I had made it through it, my oncologist told me, we were sitting there looking at my test results, and he said, Wade, you know, this is a big deal. You are stage 4, and now there's no evidence of the disease whatsoever.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, he said, you need to go live your life.
And that's obviously your inspiration for your song, right?
Yes. It hit me like a ton of bricks. So
I wrote
the song with my songwriter, one of my songwriting partners here in Nashville. And started performing the song live, and people really gravitated towards it. And so we decided to record it, and now I have partnered with Genentech, and they very generously offered to donate a dollar for every download of the song Go Live Your Life on iTunes or the website golivyourlife.com. But the donation goes to the Colon Cancer Alliance Blue Note Fund.
Wow, I'm looking it up on online right now, but I can't find that song.
Yeah. Well, the Blue Note Fund is a nonprofit that supports people with advanced colorectal cancer, and it's just a wonderful organization, and we're really, really trying our best to make the most of a bad situation and just so thankful to still be here.
Thank God. And you're in so today you're doing great?
I am. I actually just had my quarterly scans and tests yesterday and am doing great. Everything is good. There's still no evidence of the disease, and I'm almost 2 years out now. So.
Thank God. That's awesome. I love hearing happy stories like that. And for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. That is definitely a brighter side right there. We're talking with Wade Hayes and, of course, country music star. And you've done a lot of stuff. And tell us a little bit about your journey and before all of this. And gosh, I'm so excited to really be able to talk about your inspiration and your new song for it. So tell us, just who is your mentor in your life?
Well, That's a very difficult question. There are many people who have made a difference in my life.
I call those footprints, you know, people that make footprints through your life, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, of course, when I was younger, I really loved traditional country music, and that's the whole reason I wanted to do this. And I loved Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings. You know, I really tried to pattern my music after what they did, and it just affected me. I loved it. And, you know, these days, I'm really, really affected by people that are such a positive influence and help other people and that, you know, are just good men and you know, folks that you wouldn't know, really, but that, you know, guys that I do business with or go to church with or whatever.
Right.
You know, that they're good men and they make a difference in their community. And
wow, I share the same feeling as you because I've had my show for about 6 years now. And when I hear different people that are just so inspiring that they're doing something, it's almost like selfless, you know, they're thinking of themselves,
exactly.
But they're thinking about everybody else at the same time and really just trying to give back, because when you're giving back, you're actually helping yourself at the same time.
You know, and that's a very interesting point, and you are right on. I have found through my journey and upon realizing how much I took for granted in this life and how thankful I am now, that it's not always about you.
Mm-hmm.
And helping other people is extremely gratifying. And I get more out of that than I have anything in a very, very long time. So
wow.
I think you're right on the money there, and I'm very
I totally agree with you, too. Let me ask you, when is your next concert, and what are you doing? Where are you going to be?
I am on the West Coast in Bakersfield and then in Flagstaff, Arizona next weekend.
Oh, okay. And Bakersfield is somewhat close to us. Okay.
Yeah, great. I love it there. And then I would have to look at my calendar.
I know.
I'm really, really busy, but I don't have it in front of me. But
okay. Wait, are you married and children? Or?
I am divorced, and I wasn't fortunate enough to have children, but I do have a great dog.
Okay. What kind of dog do you have?
He's a boxer mix. I found him on the road in the middle of the night. He was in really bad shape.
Oh.
About 5 years ago, and I took him home, nursed him back to health, and he's been the best dog I've ever had.
Oh, isn't that great? You know what? I always have to say is I'm really passionate about my furry animals, and you know, everybody goes and spends lots of money, and I'm not opposed to that. But God, there's so many animals out there that need our help. It's kind of along the same road. You know, they have no voice, and they just. God, they're your best friend. I have four, you know, two cats and two dogs. I just lost my one dog, but best friends, you know, and I love that. So that just really speaks a lot of how you, you know, got one little doggy on the side of the road, right?
Yeah. Well, I will tell you this, that silly dog has helped me more than I will ever help him. I mean, he helped me through the roughest time of my life. He was there every day, and you know, that was one of the things that helped me get through this, I believe, is long walks every day trying to get my health up. But, you know, I would take that time and think about a time when I was through this and try to not dwell on the situation that I was in at the moment, but really, really picture a time when I was through all the treatments and through with the surgeries and I was well again. And not dwelling on the situation, but envisioning a time when things were better, that with prayer, I believe, is the reason that I'm still here, and I thank God every day that I'm still here.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, I really believe in the same way is, you know, we can hold on to a story, and, you know, we can feel pity for ourselves, but if we always say on my show is pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going on, and it sounds like that's what you did. You saw it as it was already past.
That's exactly the way to put it. Yes.
Yeah. And I so believe that, because if we kind of, you know, lay and believe me, I'm not underestimating what you've gone through or what anybody's going through. But sometimes, you know, it's like, gosh, you know, we need to feel the strength and keep going on as if it's already gone through.
And you're exactly right. And yeah. That is great advice. Somebody gave me that advice. That's not from me, but I'm just passing it along.
Yeah, you know, no,
it helps immensely.
Yeah, and it's hard to do because we get caught in the moment and we feel bad and we're like, why did this happen to us? But, you know, look where you are today. And so leave us, what is your brighter side of your life?
Well, I will tell you this. I can't believe how much I took for granted in my life. How precious this thing is that we've been given, and this second chance that I've been given is it's as if, and I know this is going to sound cliche, it's as if I'm looking at the world through a new set of eyes.
No, I love that.
It's true, and I appreciate things that I wouldn't have given a second look to 10 years ago. But it's different now. Things are different. And I'm very thankful and
Wade,
trying my best to make the most of every day.
Wade, when you had your first two bouts of colon cancer, and it was, correct, colon cancer?
Yes, it started as colon cancer, but it metastasized. Stage 4 just simply means it spread throughout your body. So it was in my liver, lymph nodes, a portion of my diaphragm was removed as well. So.
Wow. When you went through the first couple, did you feel the same way?
That feeling grows stronger every day the further I get away from it. But as far as, you know, looking at it like it had already passed, yeah, that was, I got into that when I was in the hospital bed after surgery, you know, during all of the chemo treatments, which, you know, I went through all of that. I've lost count of how many surgeries I've had. And it's, you know, you put your head down and you keep moving forward. You put your head down and you move forward. And pretty soon, like I had thought about it, it was done. And I was on the mend I know that it's, you know, nothing short of a miracle that I'm still here.
And I love that.
Well, it's true. And
no, I totally agree with you. I'm very, very
thankful.
Yeah. Who was your stone, your rock in your life at that point? I know you said your dog, but was there family? Did you have family?
No, I'm divorced and I don't have any family here. I live in Nashville. My peeps are from Oklahoma. They're all still there. So,
yeah.
It's just me, but I have some dear friends, some lifelong friends that are in Nashville with me, and that's that having them to talk to, and of course.
Yeah, you know, I call that your support team, right? People that love and admire you and are gonna cheer you on until you're able to cheer yourself on.
Yeah, I've got some people in my life that know me, but they love me anyway.
Isn't that the truth? I love that.
Yeah, I love it.
Wade, you know what? I'm going to look up all your music. I love your story. Where can we find out more about this disease and awareness? And thank you so much for sharing your life and your story with us.
Well, thank you very much. And folks can get more info and the song and see the video at goliveyourlife.com. And there is certainly information there as well, but, you know, just on colon cancer in general, they can go to the Colon Cancer Alliance website. And hopefully folks will get the song and do something good, and maybe do something good for themselves too, and hear a song that will inspire them.
I love it. And one last thing, is there a symptom, is there something that you can, you know, make people aware of, something not to ignore?
Yes, there are certainly, I will say this, colon cancer is one of the most treatable forms, if caught in time, of cancer. And it is also one of the most dangerous, if not caught in time, which is my case. And if you're experiencing anything such as bleeding, lethargy, a bloated feeling, abdominal discomfort, please go get it checked out. If you have a family history of colon cancer, you need to get tested no matter what. It's affecting younger and younger people for some reason, and we don't know why. But those are the things, and talk to your doctor.
There you go. Well, thank you so much, Wade Hayes. And again, I look for your song, and I love the words, you know, go live your life. What a great attribute to you, to what you're going through and your inspiration. So thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And I look forward to your concert out here in Vegas.
Wonderful.
What's the date again?
It is next Friday, so what I don't know what that date is.
There you go.
Yes.
Look it up next Friday. You got it.
All right. Thank you, Kim. It's
so
great
much,
to talk.
Wade. You too. Have a great day.
You
bye. Bye-bye. We'll be back. Stay with us.
On a good night, I can hop in my truck, round up.
The word mindfulness is everywhere today, and for good reason. In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a necessity, and mindfulness helps you be both highly effective and at ease all day long. Audrey Walzer has given hundreds of people in the 805 science-based mindfulness tools to downregulate the stress response through her Learn Mindfulness Meditation courses. Register now for September classes in Westlake or in Camarillo and learn to stress less. Visit the mindfulness page at learnmindfulmeditationwithaudrey.com. That's learnmindfulmeditationwithaudrey.com. When it comes to traditions, Somas Nuthouse comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit, and gift baskets are affordable for all your needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nuthouse is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nuthouse, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nuthouse at 1-800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right. Everyone needs nuts in their life.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
MJ Holt is the owner of Thermal Imaging of SoCal, where she assists people who want to know what's happening in their body right now. Approved by the FDA in 1982, DITI is an unsurpassed, safe, non-invasive screening technique that detects the sympathetic nervous system that reacts and responds to pain, pathology, injury, or dysfunction anywhere in the body that may go undetected with X-ray and other tools. Thermal Imaging of SoCal is located in Agoura Hills, here to serve by appointment. Call Thermal Imaging of SoCal when you are ready, 310-463-2318, or visit www.tiofsc.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life, where we talk about anything that can add value to our lives. And, of course, you know, married, four kids, you know, I always talk about anything and everything. You never know what we're going to talk about. And, of course, today we've got Dr. Pepper Schwartz, and we're going to talk a little bit about a new study of American men that are not opposed to being in an open relationship. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that. I've got my feelings on it, and we're going to invite Dr. Pepper Schwartz on to join us. Welcome, Dr. Pepper Schwartz. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me. It should be a fun discussion.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your backing.
Sure. I'm a professor of sociology at the University of Washington in Seattle, where I've lived for a very long time. although I grew up in Chicago and got educated in the East Coast, so been around the country some. I am a relationship expert who's written, I guess it's now 23 books on sex, relationships, things like that, the latest of which is called Snap Strategies for Couples.
Okay.
And I'm the ambassador on relationships for AARP, and I'm also in an A&E TV show called Married at First Sight, where we do arranged marriages. So
I watched that before. Oh, yeah. I watched that. Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know what? I love where we're going with this, and I'm excited to talk with you. And I would love to, one, have you back and get all your books to discuss.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because this is just something that, to me, I think one, and I'm just going to start off with, is, you know, it used to be marriage is forever. I'm also a hair therapist, so I deal with a lot of hair clients that are on one-to-one, and I hear their deep, dark secrets on both sides. And you know, I think a lot of people, there's a new era going on. It's okay to just give up, you know. It's like, oh, it's not working out. We're going to be done. And then, of course, it's, you know, my kids are all out of the house. We're almost empty nesters. We just became grandparents. And that's a whole other time where, you know, the kids are done. You know, our relationship isn't exactly where it needs to be anymore. I think we're done. But I have a whole new theory on it, and maybe you can back me up on this, is you can either go get married to somebody else or you can remarry your partner.
Well, I like the idea of remarrying your partner because I think people can. It takes a little bit more faith in what you're capable of than it does to leave. But I do think that a lot of people do re-up. I think they should, and they should renegotiate their marriage as it changes over time. I mean, people aren't the same. The conditions aren't the same. This study is funded by a legal site, avo.com. But I think the lawyers on that site, they're available for advice, and they're available for lots of free guides and questions, but they're not just there to preside over the death of relationships. I think they're often try and have couples who want to negotiate various kinds of understanding legally and set up some understandings before marriage, etc. I think those kind of discussions, whether or not you go to a lawyer, should be had, and they could be had at any part of the relationship. They could make new negotiations rather than saying this can't work because it used to be one way.
Right. Let me ask you a couple about your surveys that you did and when, why you actually conducted them. But the results showed women were more okay than men with being happy and alone than being in an unhappy relationship. Can you tell
me? In many ways, I think that's the most profound finding of the study. Because throughout the study, when you ask questions about how important marriage is, or, you know, what, when would you stay, when would you go, a lot of different kinds of things, you can see a change in the way American women think of marriage. And it's not that they don't still love marriage and want to be married and don't want a ring on it. They do, even more than men in that sense, in sense of thinking of marriage as a better way of proclaiming love than not marriage. But they seem to be more than willing to go if it's not good, or more than willing to stay single if it was going to be unhappy. One of the questions that was asked in the study, would you rather be alone, as you mentioned, than unhappy? And 71% of the women, a few percent less of the married women, but basically, you know, two-thirds to three-fourths of the women said, you know, yeah, if this was going to be an unhappy marriage, I'm out of there. Men were 61% of men in general, 55% married men, so, you know, really close. But basically, they were a little bit more likely to stick it out.
Men
and
were.
I think the men were.
Yeah,
the men
that's
were.
So, but now, okay, I know that, you know, I want to walk into this. Is that mean that they're going to be infidelity in the relationship because they think it's okay that they can find other partners to suffice the unhappiness in their marriage? What's your thought on that?
I think we over-exaggerate how much infidelity there is. In this study, 1 in 6 people had cheated, but really it was only a fifth of the men. It was less than that, 13% of the women. I think we have a lot of studies that were looking at infidelity, and they had samples that overemphasized it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, and I'm not even saying that it might be somewhat larger than we found in this study, but I don't think that most people are living parallel lives where they're in a marriage and conducting an outside life with someone else. Most of the infidelity that I have seen in studies is an act or two, as opposed to, you know, a parallel wife and a parallel affair. That's much more rare, not so rare that you don't know about it. We all know of circumstances like this. But I don't think that I think the men, you know, who do live parallel lives, we all talk about them because it's so shocking and so hurtful, but I don't think it's that way. In fact, the Avvo.com study showed that in many ways men are more traditional than women. I think it's women who are starting to say, this isn't the goal of my life. I can be a mother and a worker and live in many ways if this doesn't work out. I think women maybe feel the brunt of an unhappy marriage more than men. I think men are more likely to put up with stuff, and I don't think it's only because they have something on the side or even primarily of that. I think men cleave to marriage even more than women do these days, and women have decided that it has to have a higher standard for them to stay.
Right, and I do want to remind anybody that's just joining us right now. Yes, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're so glad that you are here. We're talking about the brighter side of life. That's what we usually talk about, anything that can add value. And we're talking with Dr. Pepper Schwartz right now. She is a relationship expert, sexologist. What makes you a sexologist as opposed to a relationship?
Well, I do both. I mean, I think I study both. I've done research studies on people's intimate personal relationships, but also part of that is their sexuality and how that affects their relationships, and also as individuals. I've studied singles a lot, dating. I have a book, Dating for Dummies. Dating Over 50 for Dummies, you know, one of the dummy series. So I look at it at both parts of the life cycle, for young people and older people. So, and I look at relationships along the life cycle, and if you don't put sex in, you know, sex isn't like in one little corner. It's not like a black box that you just open occasionally into a relationship. It's part of the relationship. It's part of whether people hug or kiss or touch or have intercourse, and it really affects how happy people are.
So you really think that, okay, so now let me ask you, if there is, well, when you talk about 50 after 50, you know, mm-hmm. how much sex do you think is expected after 50? Is it the same amount as when you're young?
I think people have less frequent sex as they get older. The hormones aren't banging on them as much as they did before, but they're definitely having sex pretty regularly in a good relationship, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. I think it does change significantly in the 70s because more health issues intervene and fewer people are coupled. But the 50s and 60s still have very sexually active lives for people who are happy. And I can tell you, in those ages, if sex is rare or non-existent, somebody is miserably unhappy. Maybe not both people, but at least one person is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away. Some people feel like menopause for women cancels it out, but there's a lot of research to indicate that more important is the health of the relationship and the person's feelings about sexuality in general, and that, in fact, the hormones are not the deciding issue.
So the hormones, it's more the relationship of not having that interest anymore?
I think that what happens is that there are some women it's biological. That's a whole discussion. But for many women, it's just being angry or unhappy or not fulfilled in the relationship, and that kills their sexual interest.
Okay. And for women, it's a whole different, you know, women have to, like you did say, be happy, feel content, feel loved, right? That's how we work up to having, you know, those sexual, thoughts, correct? Where men, it's kind of an on and off switch, right?
Well, to an extent. I mean, men are not insensible to how they're treated. And if you have a cold and angry wife, you're not particularly sexually turned on by that either. They just have lower standards than a lot of women. That is, if it's been a perfectly pleasant day, you know, they would like sexual intercourse with their wife. But she may feel that it wasn't quite as pleasant, or he wasn't quite as helpful, or she's just exhausted and the kids are taking her attention and sex isn't the way, she doesn't look at it as kind of an outlet for those feelings as much as he might. But that's the majority. There are women who are just as sexually functional in the sense of, you know, I've had a tense day, let's have sex, I need an orgasm, as men are. There's just not as many women as men that feel that way.
Okay. So can you give us some tips? If one, you know, let's just start off with, maybe we have some listeners out there that have, you know, are looking at their second or third relationship. They're not in a relationship, and they're out there dating. What's some of the tips that you could help them with that?
Well, I really feel that it's really important to think about having fun. You know, fun in your marriage and fun with somebody else. To be your best self, your partnership or your date is not the place to unload all your sadness and problems. If they have big sadness, big problems, go to a therapist. We pay people for that. Or go to your best friend. But try and make it very rewarding to be with you, whether you're married or single.
There you go. And what if you were in a relationship? Do you believe that if there was any infidelity or if they're not happy in a relationship, what would be the ways to turn that around? Could they stay in the relationship after infidelity?
You know, in the study, we asked questions like that. You know, Ava.com said, you know, if someone asked permission to be sexual with someone else, what would you do? And, you know, what would happen, you know, if someone did cheat, things like that. And while many people think, you know, probably the majority, I would cut and run, a lot of people, probably a third of the women on one of those questions said, I would think about it. You know, I would have to see what it means. And I think people, I know therapists believe and see people not only recover from infidelity, but sometimes be a stronger, better couple because they understand what went wrong. Not that something always has to go wrong to have infidelity, that's for sure. But sometimes it did. And sometimes there's something that people can see their part in it. You know, maybe he or she wasn't tending to their partner as much as they need, and they sort of took it all for granted and it kind of fell apart. And they can take, you know, their role, too, and see how to make it better. You know, one of the things we found was that 94% of the couples said they were happy in their relationships. They were satisfied, and yet 1 in 6 did cheat. So the question is, what's going on there? And for some people, it might be just an adventure. But for others, it may have something to do with not getting the sexual attention and affectionate attention they need, even though they basically love their partner. I think, you know, we all have to wake up to the fact that the relationships today, and I think this is what the Ava.com study shows, most of all, people really have higher standards of what this has to feel like to be happy in it or, for that matter, to be faithful in it. And so we can't put it on automatic pilot. We have to invest in this relationship over and over. A one-time investment is not going to do it.
I love it. I would love to talk to you more. Please get in touch with me at KimPaganoShow.com. And again, we're talking with Dr. Pepper Schwartz. We're talking about our relationships, really. You know, it's almost like we go to work, we're so invested in our jobs, and this is probably our number one job, right? It leads to our families, it leads to our relationships, our financial. I mean, there's just so many outlets that, you know, your relationship has. And where can we find out more information?
Well, you can go to, for this study, and I think it's well worth people's time, you go to avvo.com, and they'll learn more about it. And if they want to learn more about what I do, they can either get my books on Amazon.com, or they can go to drpepperschwartz.com or aarp.org, and there'll be lots of stuff to look at. But I really recommend going to look at the study at avvo.com. There's a lot to chew on.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. You've enlightened a lot of different avenues there, and I look forward to talking to you again. So thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
Thank you, Kim. I look forward to it, too.
You got it. All right. Have a really great day. I thank you so much for joining us today here. And, of course, we always end all of our shows with a moment of happiness. There is no elevator to success. You have to take the stairs. Take one at a time. Take one day at a time and make it your best. You've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
Believe in magic.
DeMol Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Waking up to your aliveness is what Sherry Gaba teaches her clients in person, by phone, or through Skype. Sherry teaches you how to live a life filled with harmony, peace, joy, and purpose, with real tools to change anything in your life, whether it's a relationship, career, financial abundance, anxiety, depression, or any addiction, whether it's alcohol, food, even obsessive love, or the internet. Sherry is a licensed psychotherapist and a certified transformation and recovery coach. Call Sherry at 818-756-3338. Email her at sherry@sgabatherapy.com and check out her website at www.sherrygaba.com.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Oh, I could hide 'neath the wings of the bluebird as she sings. The 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep.